So, full disclosure, I got a bit of a head start. Shout out, Nolan. Thanks, dude. We had a Bible study, and I was like, hey, what are them verses, bro? And slid me over a piece of paper. No, I'm just kidding. But he told me the verses. I wrote them down quickly. My parents came walking in and ended that, and my dad's like, "Well, what was that about?" And anyway, nothing, Dad. Don't worry about it. So I picked James 2:17. I've had a lot of conversations on faith with or without works being dead. A lot of people seem to think that you don't have to work before or after, and you know, I think you know before not, before you get immersed, it's not as big of a deal, but I really feel like as you grow in your faith, you're going to grow in your works as well. So, yeah, let's head to James 2:17 real quick. I'm just going to read 14 through the rest of the chapter. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and be filled," and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body to use is that. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Huh, weird. But someone may well say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works. As a result of the works, faith was perfected." That's a lot of work. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called by the friend of God." You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messages and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So, again, going back to, I'm going to start with immersion just because people like to argue that immersion is a work. It is not. We are getting dunked, but it's God doing the work, right? You know, that I feel like that's covered pretty well all before we've gotten dunked. So from there, let's go to James 1 and 21 through 25. "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." So right there, you know, that talks about works, essentially. Be a doer, not just a hearer. Romans 3:28. We'll head there. Am I going to get a beeper at 4 minutes, by the way? Thanks, Nolan. All right, Romans 3:28. "For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law." So if you notice, when it was referring to the law in James 1, law was lowercase as to where law in this manner is capitalized. So that's talking about the old law, right? So we are not judged by the old law. That's why the New Testament is a thing. So we don't really need to worry about being judged by our works according to the old law, but only to the new law. So obviously we need to keep going and, you know, shine light where we can. With that, we'll head to Matthew 7:16. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor fig from thistles, are they? Jesus, quoting Jesus there. You will know them by their fruits, right? We bear fruit, and that comes with our works. Obviously, people aren't going to exactly look at you as a disciple of Christ if you're not doing things that are Christ-like, right? And so that, again, comes down to a work, if you ask me. You know, it can be passive, it can be intentional. You can do what you need to do in a Christ-like manner, and that in itself is a work. Even Romans 5:1-11 mentions our justification by faith, mentions our justification by faith, but faith alone we will not live, and we do need to continue to walk in the newness of life and towards Christ, and just go on to continue to glorify Him. Thank you.
I guess I'll give a disclaimer too. I had no head notice. I haven't even read the verse I'm talking on yet. I walk in, my wife says, I think you should do this verse, and she reads two words, and I said, wait, I trust you. Go put my name on the board. So turn over with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Do we trust what God has given us? Now, I think about that a lot in the opening statement. I said, I trust my wife. My wife is a gift from God. And you know when your marriage starts to go wrong? Is when you forget that. When you forget that what God has given you is a gift. And you know when you become anxious? When you forget that God has given you gifts. When you forget to look back and see where God has taken you and what He has taken you through. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Anxiety comes when we forget who's in the boat with us. Right? Didn't that happen to the apostles when they were out on sea? They were in the boat with the Savior, and they let themselves get rattled by some wind. Yeah, it was quite a storm, and there is a storm raging around us. And a lot of us fall short some days because we get anxious about the storm going around us, but we forget who has given us these gifts and what He has given us and what He has brought us through. No man, no thing created on this earth, it was all created by Him, can stand against Him. And nothing else holds Him together, or holds it together. You know, they found, they got all the way down to, was it the atom, or is there one smaller than that? But they can't figure out what holds it together, right? It's the word of our Lord. And when He says it's all done, that's when the real chaos happens. Everything else going on around you, just a test. The perfect environment to produce those that are worthy to be called the sons and daughters of God. God knew what He was doing when He created this earth and when He allowed sin into the picture. You have kids and they ask, why does sickness exist? You've never been sick before, you don't know how good it feels to be good. If there was no evil, we would not know the magnificence of our God. The environment around us exists for a purpose, but it's not to cause anxiety. So what this man's shirt says, it's to cause faith over fear. I bought the same shirt because I firmly believe it. I have to brag on my second oldest daughter, a little bit. I heard the conversation secondhand, but she said everybody's so riled up about what's going to happen in the next election. And they're not sitting easy. And they're all scared. And she said, I'm just sitting over here saying God's got me. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother. In his hands, he's got the whole wide world in his hands. Do you believe it?
I've said this before, and it begs the opportunity to bring it up again. The longest distance between two points is the shortcut. This is not a message about shortcuts. I think we need to keep LOS a line of sight, a spiritual line of sight on where we're going. We got a starting point and we got a finishing point. And the reality is, everything else in between is going to be our attitude on how we get from here to there, because I'm convinced that this is still going to happen. God just doesn't want to make sure, God wants to make sure that we're not the cause of all the zigs and the zags. Okay? I was thinking about what was mentioned this morning, and Nolan mentioned, and that, man, we just want to get to heaven. And it was mentioned here earlier. We just want to get to heaven. That's your point A, point B. All right? But there is a reality that we have to deal with, and that's the everything in between that God has called us to. And we don't want to lose sight of what God has called us to. Matthew 6, 14 and 15 is the two texts that I've chosen. I would love to have chosen Mark's too, but he beat me to it because I was walking up for it. But, But we can both get there from this. This is really important too, because unless we wrap our minds around this, it's going to be really hard for us to get from point A to point B. And that is, for if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you yours. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Why on earth would God say this? Why on earth would Jesus Christ say this to not just us, but to mankind? If you'll turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Keys to victory. And here's a key to victory. It's called humility. All right? And in light of the assignment, God says in 1 Corinthians 6, I'll read 9, he says, the obvious that we all know as we observe what's going on outside this room, in the world, on the news, every day, and in our own community, and sometimes it creeps into our own homes. He says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, revilers, swindlers will inherit the kingdom of heaven. But such were some of you. Enter humility. Enter appreciation. Enter regard for the call that God has called us to. I've been thinking about Jonah. I've been thinking about Jonah when God called Jonah. Jonah had a little bit of an assignment. What did he do with that assignment? He went the other way. First thing he did, went the other way. He knew the right thing to do, but he went the other way. And sometimes we do that. Sometimes we grapple with that in the here and now because of all the zigs and zags that are going on. But God's got us a place to plug ourselves in. It's the church, but it's also our community. It's also our true, you know, we have work, but then we have our true calling. And I don't want to lose sight of that. I want to get this right, because getting to heaven is the goal. But the everything in between is the valley of the shadow of death that we get to learn how to walk individually, in our marriages, and together. Because we all got to be on the same page. Jonah goes into the belly of the fish, ultimately. The guys knew that he was on board with. He got thrown, you know, hey, it's me, I'm your problem. And they go like, what are we going to do with you? Well, you throw me over. Throw me overboard, because I know. 1 minute? Okay, good. Whew, well, I'm blowing that. But anyway, he gets vomited. I mean, he gets swallowed by the great sea monster, right? He comes to his senses in the belly of this fish. Whoops. God burps him up on the shore. God calls him again. Go preach. He goes and preaches, even though he initially didn't want to. He goes and preaches, and it goes from the people up to the king. And we don't want to lose sight of the potential that God has in his plan and where we fit in it, whether we believe we're part of it or not. Yeah, God's got the whole world in his hand, but he's got you plugged into the picture too. Don't lose sight of that. That's a key. That's a key to this. Oh, I wish I could summarize this up like Rick Bott would in 3 easy points, but I cannot do that. I just want to say, never give up. Never lose sight from point A to point B. But look at others as God sees them. And then remember how God saw you through the eyes of another one who bought you the truth. Because God needs us now to be that person in all these places, in humility, with appreciation, because he doesn't want us to regard lightly the kindness and gentleness of God, because he needs us to be that to someone else, to help them out of this quagmire and get them on the line of sight from point A to point B. That's all I got.
Some of the follies of youth follow you. I was talking earlier this evening to Katia about climbing the island of Oahu at 18 and enjoying that magnificent view of the Pacific, and then watching the formation of clouds form and rolling into fog, and just being at the top of the mountain where the clouds collected and then the vision just disappears with the cloud. When I had finished with that, and there's a kind of a plant that grows over there that you partake in, probably thinking about things in an abstract way, expanding my vision and understanding, enhancing the experience. In other words, not sober. So we decide to go back down. Miscalculation. Oh, the mountains here in Oahu are not quite the same as they are in Montana. They are steep and they have vertical, but there are slippery vines. There's not pines dug into it where you can grab onto a branch or scrub juniper, but it's vine-like. So I reached for one. It did not hold. And I dropped like 40 feet. I'm lucky I didn't break my neck, but I did break my wrist on the fall. And so now, literally, I am kind of losing my grip with my opposing thumb. And so some of the men, they line up and they're, you know, diving in for a hand pump like an old Red Jacket well that they want to get going at 5 gallons a minute. So why I bring that up is my verse is about flesh versus spirit. And they're opposed to one another. Specifically, it says in Galatians there, so that you may not do the things that you please. And so that is an idea that God has passed on to us that allows us to understand what was really meant for us. In today's world, things like a shovel can be used to dig a ditch. But when it comes to your body was not made for unrighteousness, but for righteousness. And you don't really come to that understanding until you obey the gospel. So I want to speak for a moment to think about how the mind works. Because early in my Christian walk, I would notice, well, I stopped sinning, but so did the Baptist. He's not smoking cigarettes anymore. Oh, he's not at the bar anymore with the Mormons. Oh, but Coke's okay now, but don't think about that. So all these different rules. So what is it really that puts you or sets you aside from somebody else that can overcome physical obstacles? I asked Jay that, and he said, they do not have the Spirit. You are marked. Whether you understand that completely or not, you are marked. And you're marked for eternal life with God. You are not marked for destruction, because you were transferred out of the domain of darkness into light. Now, as a young man, as well as some of you out there, probably ran through every contact, family member, person you knew, best friend, and you were disappointed. I am today. I can't even count like on one hand the number of people that I've helped get into Christ that are still around. Yeah, that's what my wife was worried about. I want to take you to Job 22. This is an obscure. We'll get down to the right brass tacks about how you can overcome the flesh, because we could have a study about that for a long time. But right here, and this is obscure because you really have to go to the King James Version, Job 22:28. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon the ways. So what I want to make an impression on to you out of Ephesians 5:15 about being careful with your time and using it wisely is that you have to die daily. You have to program your mind daily. So who is it that you're really talking to? Your self-talk determines where you are going. Now, if I would come up to Nikki Moranzik and say, Nikki, I'm going to run with you at that marathon, she may not believe me, okay? She might say, Mark, go for it, because she's that kind of a person. But what I'm trying to explain to you and what everybody else is working against you for is even starting. So if you don't start, you lose. It's as simple as that. So you have to start, and to continue to move forward, and it has to be daily, and that's how you win over the flesh. I'll stop there.
Mark, we're going to have to retrieve the clip from you in a minute. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you don't have to. Just take it off the top for your marathon, okay? Yeah. Subtract 20 yards. Yeah. We're almost there. Well, appreciate it, guys. Thank you. Again, you can't limit the keys to spiritual victory to four things, but it is 8 o'clock, and that's why we did it that way. But wanted us to consider that we will be known by our fruit. That is one thing that does make us different than the rest of the world. It's because we have God's Spirit, we can go the whole way. You know, it's like, you know, you can quit smoking the cigarettes and, you know, boozing. And I drove by a building on the way out here, and the sign said Bliss. Was the name. But boy, I bet there's nothing but gambling and booze inside that building. You see, the difference is, you know, you can quit the gambling and the booze, but because we've got the Spirit, you can go the whole way to the image of Jesus Christ. Okay? So there's spiritual victories. Wanted us to consider the works of our faith, the forgiveness that's involved in that, and certainly our fruit and how those tie together. So let's stand. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you for, again, another great assembly. What a great opportunity to serve you, to worship you. This is not a serve us service. This is a serve you, Lord. We are here because we are genuinely interested in your worship, your service, the singing of your praises, Lord. You have designed the assemblies. What a great one. Thank you for that, God. May we, with the spiritual encouragement, the equipping for service, and hopefully the edification and the building up of love. Hopefully we thought how to stimulate others to love and good deeds today, especially as that carried on throughout the afternoon break. And just pray that we take this and we're encouraged by the example of others, by the forbearance of others, by the forgiveness of others, by the fruit of others, to know, like was said already tonight, that we are not alone. Thank you for the body that you have given us. Although the body has many members, it is still one body. Thank you, Lord God. And it is in your name that we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have a great weekend.